Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
Hey, what's up? My name is Chris Ifill, lead pastor here at Grace River Church. I want to say thank you so much for watching online at home today. Today, we start a brand new series called Unpredictable Savior, and my hope is that throughout this sermon series, you take a step closer to meeting, knowing, and following Jesus. I always love looking at the life of Jesus as we lead up to the Easter season. Easter is going to be big here at Grace River Church. We have 6 service times to choose from on Easter weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. We can't wait to see you live and in person here at Grace River Church, whether it's at Unpredictable Savior or at Easter. We want you to know, no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, you're always welcome at Grace River Church. And so today, as we kick off this brand new series looking at the life of Jesus and kind of some of the unpredictable things that our Savior did, we're going to talk about the people that God chooses today as we open this up. And really, the big idea behind today's talk is God doesn't pick the best. He picks the willing. God chooses unlikely people to do extraordinary things. And so what's amazing about the people that Jesus chooses to use, the people that God chooses to use, they're very ordinary, average, everyday people. I mean, you could look at the Old Testament and see examples of this, right? You can see that in Moses. You can see it in Gideon. You can see it in David, who was a little shepherd boy that became a king. I mean, you look at these examples in the Old Testament, and the Bible is actually full of examples of average, ordinary, everyday people. But what's super interesting to me is you don't see it any more vibrant or any more clearly, I guess, than when you look at the life of the disciples. I mean, these were 12 ragtag people. These are not the people that you would think. This is why it's the most one of the most unpredictable things that Jesus did was the 12 people that he picked to be his disciples. In fact, let's jump into the story of how it happened in Luke chapter 6. It says this: at daybreak, Luke was one of the disciples, by the way, and actually the most educated of all 12 of them. He was a physician. He's actually one of the only ones that it actually makes sense that he would call to be a disciple. But Luke chapter 6, verse 13 says, at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here were their names: Simon, whom was named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. So these are the 12 names of the disciples. And I think about who we would have picked. Like, let's say you're the Savior. Let's say you're Jesus. You would have picked way higher educated people. You would have picked people with better reputations, more than likely. And we're going to get into that into a second. But like, just from like a sheer logistics idea, the kind of people that you would pick, you would want to find some people that are really good at speaking in public. Like, right, that would be really important. You want to find people that are motivators. Again, the disciples, Jesus knew that he wasn't going to be around on earth forever. And so you had to find some people that would help to be motivators. Maybe somebody that's a math expert, like somebody really good with numbers, right? someone that's good at strategy and logistics. You would think, you know, the disciples would need to be good at that. Someone that understood trade routes and organization. Someone that was good with branding and social media. Like, you think about what you would do if you wanted to, like, start a new religion where people would, like, need to meet, know, and follow you. This is pretty big. Like, you would need a list of something similar to this. Instead, he picks these guys. And so it's kind of crazy, really, because they would have been overlooked. Every one of them would have been overlooked by rabbis in the past. In fact, there's kind of a succession of what you would go through as a Jewish boy. And the succession looks like this. Jewish boys studied the Torah in what was known as a school for 7 to 8 year olds named Bet Sefer. And so that's the school they would go to, and they would study the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. They would have to know it really, really well, okay? And if they were good at Bet Sefer, then they were invited to Talmud, where that was a deeper, like, way deeper study into the Old Testament. So if you were, every little boy went to this. Every Jewish little boy went to Bet Sefer, but you had to be really good to graduate into Talmud. And if you were really good at Talmud, you would be known as the elite, and they would be chosen for yeshiva. Now, the best ones, the best men in yeshiva, the best teenagers, like 16 to 18 year olds, would be chosen by a rabbi to eventually themselves become a rabbi. And so this meant something in your family. If you graduated from Bet Sefer and you went to Talmud, that was a big deal. But if you went from Talmud to yeshiva, that's an even bigger deal. And so what I need you to understand today is that Jesus, man, he invited some strange people onto his team, really, if you think about it. And so Jesus picked his own team, and he loves to use the unqualified people. So he picks his own team, the team of 12. And it's amazing because all the angels in heaven would be wondering, like, what in the world? Who is he picking? Why is he picking these people, right? But something that God loves to do is he loves to use the unqualified. And what I need you to hear today is this. You may feel inadequate, and you may feel unqualified, and you may feel like God could never use you. Maybe it's because of your past. Maybe it's because of your present. Maybe it's because of some of the circumstances that you're going through or that you've been through in life. Maybe you don't feel like you're smart enough. That was my story, is I didn't feel like I was smart or educated enough for God to use me. And what I found out was God actually loves taking everyday, ordinary people and doing something special in their lives. And so let's look at the 12 disciples for a second, just some of the stories behind these guys, right? So Peter, he was a loudmouth. He was impulsive. He denied Jesus. In fact, Peter was the disciple that said, I'll never deny you. I'll go to the cross with you. I'll die with you. And on that same night, he betrayed him 3 different times. He's also the only disciple, the only person that Jesus ever called Satan to. Like, he actually said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. And so Peter, although he was one of Jesus' favorite, of the 12 disciples, there were 3 that he really loved and enjoyed spending time with. Peter was one of them. But Peter is not the pick that any of us would have picked. In fact, Peter's the pick that probably left the angels kind of scratching their heads going, why did he pick Peter, right? He's kind of cocky, arrogant, always saying the wrong things. I mean, if you want to talk about that friend that you have that lacks social awareness, that is who Peter was, okay? So you got Peter. You got Andrew, who's Peter's little brother. He's always in Peter's shadow, right? So we don't hear much about Andrew other than the fact that every time Andrew's mentioned, he's mentioned as Peter's little brother. You have James and John. Their mom asked Jesus if they could sit on his right and left side in the kingdom of heaven. And that started a big fight with the other disciples. And it was a big argument that took place. And it all happened from their really awkward mom that asked, hey, my boys, I want them to be on your right and your left side in your kingdom. You got Philip. He's barely mentioned in scripture. You got Bartholomew, also known as Nathan. He's practically ghosted in the New Testament. We almost know nothing about him. You have Matthew, Levi, the tax collector. He was corrupt and hated. Again, this is an odd pick to think about picking a tax collector. You also have Thomas, who was a doubter. You have James, Judas, and others who are barely mentioned. And by the way, Judas is the one who stole money. And he's also the one that betrayed Jesus. And Jesus knew that ahead of time. He knew, he actually picks the one that will end up betraying him. But we go on to read, I mean, there's other stories in the New Testament and even beyond the Bible. You got Paul, who murdered Christians before writing half of the New Testament. I mean, if anybody had an excuse for God not to use them, it's Paul. He helped murder and imprison Christians, and then himself becomes a Christian, and then he goes on to write over half of the New Testament. That's wild. You got Billy Graham, which is a name that most of us are all familiar with. He was kicked out of church when he was 15 years old for not being spiritual enough. And then later on in life, at 16 years old, he meets Jesus. His life is drastically changed, and he would fill up stadiums all over the world and proclaim the gospel to people, and generations would be changed as a result of it. I think God used Billy Graham. I think God used the Apostle Paul. And I just wonder today, what excuse do you have? Like, what is it in your own life that you're going, ah, man, I'm just not talented enough. I don't have enough time. I'm not good enough. And what I need you to understand is God wants to use an available heart. God is way more interested in your availability than your talent. You know, it's amazing about church world, and what's amazing about Christianity is that there are no superstars. There's no LeBron James, there's no Michael Jordan, there's no Patrick Mahomes, there's no Travis Kelce when it comes to God's kingdom. Like, God's kingdom is full of ordinary, everyday people that just say, God, I'm available. God just wants your availability and your willingness to be used by him. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, this next two verses I'm going to share with you are very personal for me, because these are the verses that God used in my own life. I read this for the first time in my parents' basement when I was 19 years old. I was getting ready to move out of the house, and I was in college. I was flunking out of business college, wondering what my future was going to look like, because I knew that I was running from a calling in my life. I knew that God had called me to do more than what I was presently doing. And I read this passage of scripture. I was reading my Bible like every good Christian kid should do. And I stumbled across this passage of scripture, and it really stuck out to me. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. And this describes me. When God called me, I wasn't wise in the world's eyes. If I told you my ACT score, you would laugh at me. I didn't have a bunch of money. And verse 27 says, instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. I didn't know what this verse meant. I had a feeling that it meant that God calls everyday, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so that was a Saturday night that I read that. I prayed and asked God for clarity on what that passage meant. And it's crazy, because God answered my prayer. On Sunday morning, I wandered into church, and I sat down, and the sermon starts after the music. And the pastor said, hey, I want you to open your Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. And that was the moment for me that I realized God was like, hey, Chris, I got you. And the pastor did explain that passage of scripture, and it was just the way that I thought it was going to be. And it's pretty amazing, because that was the day that I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so this is really important and critical for you today, because I realize that more than likely you think you're not smart enough. You don't think you have enough money. You don't think you have enough talent. And I want you to know God uses an available heart, not necessarily the one that's the most talented. And the third thing is, your past doesn't disqualify you. It actually prepares you. So when you think about your past today, I need you to understand something about it. It doesn't disqualify you. It's simply preparing you. So God isn't saying, I can't use you. In fact, there's not a person out there that God can't use. God can use anyone for his glory. What he is saying is, I want to use you. Like, are you willing for me are you willing for yourself to step into your calling and allow God to step into your life and show you what the next step is for you to do? And so my hope is that you're ready for that. My hope is that you would go, man, I need to do that. And so in order to do that, I want to give you a lot of application to make that happen in your own life. And I want you to think, man, what could your life look like if you didn't settle for ordinary? Like, if God could take your very ordinary life and do something extraordinary with it. He specializes in that. I think about these 12 disciples and what he did in their lives. It's pretty amazing to think about. You know, for Peter, that he would go on and go from denying Christ on the night of his on the night of his betrayal. He goes from denying Christ to preaching the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people meet Jesus as a result of it. That just goes to show you right there that God specializes in using the people that you would think are unqualified. God says, I want to use you, not I can't use you. And so how do we even respond to this? Or how do we respond to that kind of love that God has for us? Well, first of all, say yes to the invitation to follow him. I mean, I think about those disciples, they dropped their fishing nets and they followed Jesus immediately. Matthew, the tax collector, he leaves the tax collector booth, leaves it all behind to follow Jesus. And I wonder today, what is it that you need to leave behind? In order for you to begin to follow Jesus, it may mean that you have to put something down. So what do you need to put down and what do you need to pick up? Say yes to that invitation. Put something down, pick something up. Maybe it's putting down a habit. Maybe it's putting down a relationship. Maybe it's putting down a hobby that you just know is a waste of your time and a waste of your money. Maybe it's something like that. Like, put this down and instead pick something up. Like, pick up God's word to inspire you. Pick up a prayer life to help guide you. Pick up some good relationships at a church somewhere, whether it's Grace River or somewhere else, and get around some people that can help inspire you and help challenge you and help hold you accountable to some next steps, man. Say yes to the invitation to follow him. Also, spend time getting to know him. Man, in order for you to know what it is that God wants you to do with your life, you're going to have to get to know him. What I love about Colossians chapter 1:15, it says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And it can feel like sometimes that God is unknowable. But the amazing thing about Scripture is that God can be known. And so my encouragement to you is get to know the nature and character of God by getting to know the nature and character of Jesus found in this book. Jump into one of the Gospels. Jump into Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. Read over and over and over again the stories of Jesus and see how it changes you. Spend time getting to know God, and also trust that he knows, that he really actually knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing in and through you. And I just wonder today, is can we trust him with that? Can we actually slow down and say, God, I trust you with my future. Like, I don't just trust you with my present, I trust you with my forever. Now, what's wild is we actually trust God with our eternity. In fact, many of us have declared Jesus to be the Savior and the Lord of our lives, that the means to our salvation comes only through the person of Jesus Christ. And man, like, so many of us have made that decision, and so we will trust God with our forever, but we have the hardest time trusting him with today and tomorrow. And I just wonder what kind of shift that we need to make to say, God, I trust that you know what you're doing. So maybe that's joining a small group and stepping out of your comfort zone, or maybe that's joining a serve team or a ministry team and jumping into something new in your own life. Or maybe that's just sharing your faith with your neighbor. Maybe that's just saying yes to being committed to coming to church on Sunday mornings. Like, I don't know what your next step of obedience is, but would you be willing to take it and be willing to realize that, listen to me, God could use you, and it may be the most fulfilled you ever feel in your whole entire life is whenever you say, God, here's my life, please take it and do more with it than I could ever do myself. So some next steps to consider. First of all, let go of your excuses, man. Like, we all have them. Would you be willing to say, I'm letting go of that? Like, I've got my list of excuses and I'm going to put those down. And instead, I'm going to pick up the promises of God. So put down your excuses and pick up these promises that God has for you. Man, you may have the excuse that you're not smart enough, that you don't know enough, that you're not holy enough. And what's amazing is God wants to flip that script in your life. And so look at the people that God used in the Bible. They didn't have it all together. Moses had a speech impediment and he'd actually murdered someone. So in God's hilarious sense of humor, he decides to use Moses to lead the nation of Israel You think about that for a second. You want to talk about a guy that's unqualified for the job. He's not perfect, and he also has a speech impediment, and a big part of his job is to be holy, and so he can hear from God, and another big part of his job is to be a public speaker, and he's got a speech impediment. And Moses had his excuse. Gideon, in the same way, had his excuses. David, in the same way, had his excuses. And what's amazing is God used all of these people. Let go of your excuses. Also, invest in your relationship with God. Like, just decide, I'm going to spend more time with God this month than I did last month. I'm going to spend more time with God this week than I did last week. Invest in this relationship with God. Let it be the first thing you do every single day. And then step into your calling. Like, make a choice to go, I'm going to step into this with confidence, not with arrogance, but I'm going to step into this calling in my life to say, God, I trust you with it all. Man, my hope is that you take a next step today, that you would have the courage to take the next step and the clarity to know what it is that God wants you to do. I know this, man. Every single one of us are made for more. And I need you to get this, man. God wants to use you in a big way in your own life. So we do this when you bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you have clarity on what your next step is. Maybe you're listening today and you haven't even solidified this relationship with God yet. You haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to pray and I want to give you the chance to pray along with me to receive the gift of salvation that only comes through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you right now. God, I pray that you would help every one of us to step into our calling. God, that we would not be satisfied with where we're at, but that we would trust you more and more and more. God, I pray today for the person that feels inadequate. God, I pray that you would help them to see that you love them, that you have a plan for them and a purpose for them. So God, I pray they would drop their excuses and put all of those down and pick up your promises. Lord, I pray for the person that doesn't know you yet and needs to receive you. God, I pray they would pray a prayer just like this right now. If that's you, you can pray this prayer. God, I admit that I need you. I admit that I've sinned and fallen short. And God, I believe that you sent your only son to come and die on the cross for my sins. And right now, God, I'm confessing with my heart and with my life, you and only you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for making me new and making me a Christian. God, help me not to live my life based on my feelings and my emotions, but instead, God, allow me to live my life as you being the Lord of my life. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer, I want to celebrate with you. Way to go. You can text the number on the screen, 636-336-2475. That number again, 636-336-2475. We would love to celebrate with you and help you as you take next steps, as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so join us in person next week for Unpredictable Savior, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock right here at Grace River Church. God bless.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take, and you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.